Welcome to Does the Team Think with Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Leslie Phillips, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And here's a question for the team to answer. It comes from Mrs. Sheila Davis.
What sort of car would each of the team expect his teammates to drive from his knowledge of their personalities?
What sort of a car would each of the team expect his teammate to drive from his knowledge of their personalities?
Well, not so much their personalities as their physical attributes. Obviously, Arthur Askey would drive a Mini.
Well, Jimmy drives... I don't know, Jimmy, you know...
He drives a horse box.
No, he doesn't.
And he's usually in the back with the horse driving. Because the horse is sober.
Jimmy, I must say this, that Jimmy is the fastest but safest driver I've ever driven with. Well, one time, many years ago, he invited me down to his place in Sussex, his farm.
Never again.
No, because I tell you why never again, because when I stood out of the car, he didn't tell me the cows had been in the meadow, and I did the first 10 minutes doing an eccentric dance. I've never seen so many tam o' shanters. I tried 3 of them before.
I think the moment has come to welcome Leslie Phillips to the panel, who I might say is a new member to the team, and you're very welcome, Leslie, but you may not be welcome unless you answer the question. Could you answer
Well,
that
I've been sitting here listening to my friends, and I was thinking about this very seriously.
You
because
didn't
I
laugh
can see
much.
They take this all rather flippantly, and I'm going to be very serious. In fact, I'll put on my glasses to show you how serious I am.
Half glasses?
Half glasses, yeah.
Now, I
think that
old ones, look.
Certainly with Ted, if I was driving in the same car as Ted, I think the best car he could have is a hire car.
A hire car?
Yes, yeah, so that you're not driving.
You don't trust me.
Well, I don't know. I've driven with Ted once. Ted is one of the most cautious drivers that I've ever driven with. I mean, we drove from Sussex 42 miles, and it took 42 hours. No, we were going backwards most of the time.
I think Jimmy looked right on a horse.
Have you ever seen the expression on the horse's face when he's on it?
Well, how many horsepower do you want?
Well, Jimmy said I should have a Mini. I've not. I've got a Rose. I've got one of these new Rolls. It's called a Rose Canardly. It can hardly get down well in and can hardly get up the other.
But I prefer a Rose for my sort of farm work because they've got that glass panel behind your neck so the calves can't lick your neck.
Well, the best
how
car...
How revealing.
The best car I ever had was one... Only Ted will remember this. It was called a Trojan. Do you remember the Trojan?
Yes, solid tires.
Trojan car with
it
the
had
solid
very,
wheels.
Very
yeah.
fit wheels, yeah. Solid rubber tires.
Yeah.
Lovely little car. The only trouble was, if you got in the tram lines, you had to go to the depot to turn round, you know.
That's right.
It is true.
It's absolutely true.
I had a little Austin 7 at one time, and I parked it next in a film studio next to some great film star's car, and he came out and said, he says, you can't drive a bus. And I said, well, that's my Austin 7, and that's your ostentatious.
But you know, this is not new, because Christopher Columbus was a most marvellous motorist, you know.
Was he?
He did 3,000 miles to a galleon.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mrs. Davis. Mr. Frank Percival has a question, and this is it.
In the unlikely event that members of the team were on the run from police or creditors, what disguise would they adopt and what alias would they use?
In the unlikely event that members of the team were on the run from the police or creditors, what disguise would they adopt and what alias would they use?
Well, the only time I'd be on the run from the police would be by taking a very violent laxative. Because I've done nothing wrong in my life.
Leslie Phillips.
Huh? Well, I think Jimmy has a very simple way of disguising himself. All he's got to do is shave off that enormous moustache.
Right.
And then you can't tell his face from his...
I, first of all, would like to say that I would assume a disguise which is absolutely foolproof. I would go as a nun. Something that any passing policeman would really believe in. Lifted the veil and saw the moustache, you'd say, hello, sister, I knew you were growing one. And my alias, of course, would be Reginald Adrian Coddleswade.
Very
Judging
good.
By your sex life, it would be the three nuns. None yesterday, none today, and none tomorrow.
I don't know about tomorrow, Ted. About yesterday and today, I can speak with authority.
Really?
Leslie Phillips.
Well, I dressed up as a woman once.
Yeah.
And I looked exactly like Sheila Hancock. So I don't think I'd do that. So I think what I'd do... bless her heart. What I'd do...
She thinks the world of you. I'm very surprised that you're talking like that about Sheila Hancock.
Leslie Phillips.
What I think I'd do is... I don't think I'd get away with any disguise, so I just call myself Fred. And that's my brother's name. He looks exactly the same as me, and I think I get away with it.
Well, all right, from Fred to Frank. Frank Percival, do you think these gentlemen, looking at them from where you're sitting, have criminal tendencies then?
Not all of them. No.
Not all of them, which presupposes that some of them have.
Yes, some of them
have. Who do you suppose has criminal tendencies?
Well, Jim, I think.
Oh.
Are you a copper or something, sir?
Yes. I think that Jim should shave off his moustache, dress as a woman, put on a blonde wig and get a job as a barmaid. Yes, yes.
I wouldn't like to own the pub.
One minute.
Barmaid, lovely.
Now, what about Ted Ray, then?
Well, Ted Ray, I think, well, he'll have to be somebody who doesn't talk very much for a complete disguise.
Impossible.
Yes, and I understood that at one time in his checkered career, he was a cloakroom attendant at Waterloo, and that Wellington was very pleased with him.
I was a toilet attendant at Waterloo.
Correct.
So I'm flush with success.
So I think he should get a job at the Victoria and Albert Museum as an attendant.
At the Gags?
No, because he's lived there through the period and you'd be quite at home there. And his name should be Charlie Tchaikovsky.
Thank you, team, very much. And thank you, Mr. Percival. Now, Miss Phyllis Yates, it's your turn.
How do the team manage to keep themselves looking so happy, young and active? Have they some secret formula?
How do the team manage to keep themselves looking so happy? Did you say young? Yes, you did. Young and active. Have they some secret formula?
My father told me, he said, you must be very moderate in everything you do, son. He said, you will never fail. And when you go out into the world, as you will tomorrow, if I have my way. I was three at the time.
But you've always succeeded. I mean, you've been moderately funny.
Well, I knew they didn't. I knew they didn't like me when I found they were wrapping my school sandwiches in roadmaps. But he said to me, son, there are three things you must always remember. The first thing is, if you earn £2, save one. Never eat fish on a Monday. And never play snooker for money with a left-handed miner from South Wales.
I look so young and active and beautiful, Mrs. Yates, because I live on a fish diet and it's pure living, you know. But I did go and see that fellow in Switzerland, who they all go to, you know, and he gives them the injections. And he looks at me and he said, but why come to me? You're so young, see? He said, anyway, take your clothes off. And I'll have a look at you. And he looked at me, he said, I see what you mean now.
Oh, you took your band parts with you, did you?
Leslie Phillips.
Well, you know,
He is young, Leslie, isn't he, though?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you see, I am young. And
you are
I'm
young.
Very happy, and I'm... The secret of my youth, my eternal youth, is that, in comparison with my teammates, is that I was born later.
I would actually
add... The midwife couldn't open her bag.
Very much later.
But it is true that one of my recipes for keeping young and fit, the lady says active and fit, is to play the tuba every day.
Does that make you happy?
It moves the neighbours around a bit.
It's very important to play the tuba for half an hour a day and keep your valves loose.
Jimmy...
You don't play the tuba in there, do you?
Valves!
Mrs. Yates, do you really think we look... young and active?
I think you do.
You do?
Yes.
Well, now, look, I can give you the address of a good eye specialist. Can I just tell my little story about the man at Eastbourne in the lift last year?
You're going to anyway.
Well, I will if I can get a chance. I got in this lift and a man looked at me and he said, hello, Arthur. I said, hello. I thought he'd recognise me. He said, yeah, I like him, you know. I said, yes, a lot of people tell me that. He says, but he's getting on a bit now, you know. I said, yes, I believe. He said, I think he's 70. I said, he's more than that. He said, is he? Wears well, doesn't he? And we got out. Well, the following day, he got in the lift again. He said, hello, Arthur. I thought he knew now, you know. He said, here, I heard he was in the hotel yesterday.
I think that's rather sad.
It's a true story.
I believe you, Arthur. As a matter of fact, I was in the lift the other day, and the lift boy wasn't very experienced. And he pressed this button, and we shot up about 90 miles an hour. And people were, you know, thrown about like ninepins all over the place when we stopped him, about the fifth floor. And the kid was very embarrassed, and he said, "I'm awfully sorry." He said, I didn't mean to stop so quick." And an old lady got up, and she said, "It's all right, son. I always wear my bloomers around my ankles."
Thank you very much, and thank you, Miss Phyllis Yates. Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to introduce our special guest, a very attractive young lady with a special flair for comedy, as she's demonstrated on the West End stage, on television, and in radio's Just a Minute. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the lovely Amy MacDonald.
Oh, yes.
Welcome to the program, Amy. Have a seat.
She's got a seat. Have you seen it?
That's beautiful. And now put your question, Amy, please.
Well, Mac, I'm very interested in astrology.
Yes.
And I'd like to know, does the team think that your star sign affects your personality and the pattern of your life?
Oh, I wish I could talk like that. Does the team think that your star sign affects your personality and the pattern of your life?
Well, I think it's a lot of codswallop. I mean, in the paper this morning, I looked at what it said. I'm Gemini. That's twins, isn't it?
Aren't we all?
We're twins, yes.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I looked in the paper this morning and it said, "You will be surrounded by those you love today."
Well, we do love you, Arthur. Yeah. We adore you.
It's true, absolutely.
I'm a scorpion, you know.
Yes.
I'm a scorpion. My son Robin, for my birthday, he bought me a most beautiful thing. He bought me a framed thing of the scorpion, sign of the zodiac. Is that right, Amy? Mm.
Yes.
I don't know much about this. Obviously, you've studied the question. But it said there, and I read this, it said that a scorpion is of the planet Mars. This is of the planet Mars. Perfect in manners. In war, invincible. A valiant lover. And I'd like to fight for it sometimes, I'll tell you. And finally, a prattler without modesty. How do you like that?
Jimmy Edwards. What is your zodiacal
just
sign?
Ted, for your next birthday, I'll buy you a real scorpion.
The last time you bought me a scorpion was the best lobster
I've
ever tasted.
Oh, Jim, just before you answer this question, Amy, could you possibly judge Jim's sign without his telling you where...
Yes, because I think it's a lot of rubbish. Can you tell me what I am before I tell you?
What sign do you think Jim
was born under? He was Aries.
You would say he was Aries?
No, he's Pisces. Well, he's half Pisces most of the time.
Jimmy, what are you, in fact?
Well, as it happens, Mrs. Amy...
Miss Amy Beautiful Cuddlesome MacDonald.
She's absolutely right, and I don't know how you...
Oh, thank you.
She's right, was she?
She was right, yes, as a matter of fact.
Well, Aries people are supposed... They're supposed to be bossy, yet have a kind of innocence, a childlike innocence combined with a bossiness, which I think Jimmy has.
A childlike innocence?
Well, he has, really. He really is. He was on the plane yesterday with me coming back from Ireland. He did a very childish thing.
Amy.
Ah, but that was only fright.
Amy, I have a childlike innocence. Would you care to give me a few lessons?
Also, they're supposed to be fearless, which I think you are.
Utterly fearless. You've got to be fearless.
You just described
with his act, she's got to be fearless.
You just described me because I'm Aryan. You see, I'm Aries.
Well, you're a bit of both, you see. I wasn't quite sure
that's
about
me,
you.
Yes.
You're a bit, little
but
bit...
But I was born on the same day as Hitler, strange enough.
Oh. Yeah,
the actual day?
Yes. Well, not the actual day.
What a busy day for the midwife.
And when I get angry, my moustache goes blacker.
I mean, take the sort of things that they write. I mean, one occasionally idles through this column when you've read everything else, including the obituaries, you read this rubbish. And the other day it said, extra journeys will have to be taken at short notice. It was quite true. I ate something unfortunate.
And that's how we did a very childish thing.
Team, just a moment. I want you, without knowing this,
yes,
to guess Amy's sign.
Amy... Beautiful, Amy, I should think that you must be, well, say, Sagittarius.
Don't answer that yet. Arthur, what do you think?
Aquarius.
And Leslie?
Pisces.
And what about you, Amy? What are you, in fact?
I'm Pisces.
Oh! Yes.
Success!
only one left.
Yes, why did you say that?
Ted, what do you keep waving at the audience?
Leslie,
for?
Why
because
did...
Because I just recognised your sister. Oh, hello, darling.
Leslie, why did you come up with the conclusion of Piskies?
Well, because I always have an instinctive rapport.
I can get some deodorant for that.
You have a rapport?
And the moment I met Amy today, I thought, there is somebody I like.
This is like fortune-telling. And as Ted knows, in our old days, when we were touring, all our landladies were fortune-tellers, weren't they?
Always.
Would you like to have a go with the cards, Arthur?
That's
and
right.
I was staying with one once, and she wasn't bad, but she gave us fish all the time. Every blooming day, every meal we had fish.
She was Pisces,
breakfast,
then, obviously.
Lunch, dinner, always fish. Anyway, she said, I'll tell the fortune if you like. I said, OK. So she got the cards out and laid them out. She said, hello, there's a stranger coming to the house. I said, I hope it's the butcher.
Thank you, team, and thank you, Amy MacDonald.
Thank you,
Amy.
Good.
Thank you, Amy.
Even on that,
thank
you.
Amy's father and mother have just left to ask for her money back.
All right, team, well, listen carefully, because here's a question from Miss Vera M. Yates.
Would the members of the team like to live in a stately home? And what special features would they want there?
Would the members of the team like to live in a stately home? And what special features would they want there?
I live in a stately home. It's in a bloody awful state. It really is.
Hold it.
You know, the kitchen is so untidy, it took me 3 hours to find a chair.
Arthur Askey.
Well, I'd like a minstrel's gallery, I think. Not where I'm living now, when I come into the money, you know. When I buy a stately home, it'd be lovely to have a minstrel's gallery. Ooh. Have all the guests downstairs, you know. And you're up there with a pea shooter, trying to get down the cleavage, you know. Marvellous, don't you think?
Trying to get down the cleavage?
Oh, plain.
Get up to the cleavage, you mean?
I'm in the minstrel's gallery. Oh, follow the plot. He thinks the minstrel's gallery is on stage level.
Do you mean the minstrel's gallery?
I wouldn't mind a picture gallery. And all along the gallery would be my ancestors. Because they eventually did find my father, you know. all the Askeys going way back from the potato famine in Ireland.
They looked under the rug and there he was.
Leslie Phillips.
Now, there's nothing I'd like more than to have a beautiful stately home. I'd like an enormous meadow, forest land, a gamekeeper's cottage.
Leslie's going to play...
That concludes Woman's Hour for today.
And lots of game, because I'm...
Oh, yes, you're
very
gamey boy.
Oh,
he's a randy so-and-so.
He loves Ludo.
Yes, I like
he's
games.
Cancelled over, game. He's not kidding.
And Ted. The only special feature... I would like $20,000 a year tax-free to run it.
I've stayed, naturally, I mean, in my long and distinguished career, I've stayed in lots of stately homes. Honestly, I have. But the first time I was caught out, it was just after Bandwagon, when I started mixing with the high-ups, you know. And I went to this stately home, it was a Duke, and when I got there, they took my case. And I'd been warned about these stately homes, they're very drafty and very cold. And I took a pair of comms with me. True. I even sewed up the escape hatch at the back, you know.
You didn't trust
when
it?
When I went upstairs, the butler took my case. And when I got upstairs, all laid out they were, including the comms. I had to bribe him not to tell the other people. I gave him a shilling when I left, you know.
Jimmy, in your polo playing life, and you're still playing polo, I don't know whether you're still alive.
He's not at the moment.
Yes, you're still playing polo.
Please, I wish you were.
You must have stayed at many stately homes. Were there any things about them you don't like?
Well, and it's a very embarrassing. I was invited once to this very big stately home, and I had the same embarrassing experience as Arthur about the unpacking.
You thought?
You see, all I took with me was a small zip bag, which had in it my pyjamas, my toothbrush, and a bottle of whiskey.
And, in that order?
And it was very embarrassing when the butler said, I've laid out your luggage, sir.
And he must have had a corking good tongue.
He must have gone down to the servants' quarters and said, very strange people, these theatricals.
Jim, do you feel at home in these stately homes?
Utterly, because I usually don't remember where I am anyway.
Well,
the difficulty about four-poster beds is actually, if they happen to draw the curtains, you know, they have curtains all round. You don't know which curtain to get out of or what you're going to step into.
Jim.
And when you wake up in bed in the morning, you have to go round the library reading all the fly leaves and the books to find out whose house you're in.
Jim, what facilities do you have at your farm?
Facilities? That bucket?
There's two buckets, one wet and one dry. What are you talking about?
I know.
About?
You kicked it one night and turned a little pale.
No, I mean, the farm isn't a stately home. The farm is a genuine farm. And I know the sort of place you're talking about.
Lunch is served by a pig.
The special features, naturally, would be, for one thing, one doesn't want everything to be so far away. That's one of the snags. I mean, by the time the food reaches the table, it's stone cold. Because they've come up four floors and walked along 18 drafty corridors. Don't you agree, Mrs. MacDonald?
Miss Yates.
Miss Yates.
Miss Yates, have you...
I thought she'd aged rather suddenly, isn't it?
Don't be unkind.
She looks younger.
She looks younger than Amy.
Jimmy, she looks younger than you do. Miss
Yates, wouldn't be difficult, would it, eh?
Miss Yates, have you ever had a desire to live in a stately home?
Well...
Just send us a postcard.
Don't let them put you off.
I like visiting them very much, but perhaps it would be a bit of a responsibility. But it is delightful to go round to these places, and it's a privilege that they're open to us and we can visit them.
I don't see why you should give the Marquess of Bath a plug like that.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Miss Vera Henry. And now, team, here's a question from Mrs. Maureen Sterling. Mrs. Sterling, welcome to the programme. Your question, please.
Thank you. Does the team think that national character is influenced by a geographical position? And does the traveller undergo personality change with changes in latitude?
Whoops. Does the team think that national character is influenced by geographical position? And does the traveller undergo personality changes with changes in latitude?
Latitude, for example, we are about in England... not very far, latitudinal-wise, are we?
But the
further north you go, the colder it gets, and the further south you go, the colder it gets. And naturally... Is that wrong?
That's right.
No, it's great, you're doing
There's
great.
There's an argument amongst some elderly ladies at the back there. It's a man from the Argentine who doesn't know where the hell he comes from. Or what latitude he's at.
What does he care with the price of beef?
And am I right, Mr. Chairman?
You are right.
So that therefore, naturally, an Eskimo has a different personality from a pygmy because they're born in different temperatures. It's nothing to do with actual latitude, it's the temperature.
Better be a good finish to this gag, I'll tell you that.
It's an expose.
Is it?
It isn't a
joke.
You're
going to be pinched for that.
All right, Leslie Phillips.
There's no flies.
Well, I don't get enough latitude in this country. I feel I'm being restricted too much, and I'd like to go further south.
I personally think what Jimmy was talking about it's not necessarily because the Eskimos live in a very cold country that they're not hot-blooded. In fact, they're very alive. You go and stay with an Eskimo, a man goes and says, the Eskimo offers you his wife. But if you've seen the wives, you don't wonder he does offer her.
So what's a woman who's been in the fridge all night?
She cries all the time. She's what they call a blubber.
No, it is true, this question...
Well, they eat whale meat and blubber, and if I had to eat whale meat, I'd blubber.
It's your parents that have a say in your personality, not the latitude or longitude, unless you're talking about pressure on the brain or something.
But it can depend on where you were born, if your parents were there at the time. One always hopes they were.
Well, very kind of you to suggest that they weren't, Mr. Hobie. You shall hear from my solicitor about this.
But when he was born, he wanted to be near his mother, you see.
Do you think, Miss Sterling, that if these gentlemen had been born elsewhere, their personalities would have been changed?
Oh, I think so, yes.
In what respect?
Yes. Well, we wondered about Jimmy Edwards. If it was a little warmer, would he not be quite so rude?
Oh.
Would Arthur be less big-headed?
Big-hearted.
Would Ted Ray be less jovial? And would Leslie Phillips be more sexy if it was warmer?
Is such a thing possible?
I remember Bob Hope said to me one day when he came over here, the thing I don't like about coming back to England, he says, you have spring, summer, autumn and winter. I said, you have that in America. He said, yes, but not in the same day.
Thank you very much, Pete. Thank you very much. And there, I'm afraid, we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Leslie Phillips, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questioners and our special guest, Amy MacDonald. This is MacDonald Hobley saying goodbye to you all.
Goodbye.